most of the songs being written are very me based, how I feel, how I benefit from it, what you've done for me. I think some of the biggest songs, you know, from 30 years ago were songs of reverence. How great is our God? There's a certain level of humility when we don't come into it at all. It's just about the fact that you're the creator and we get this opportunity to put attention on you.
It was all about getting on the compilation discs back in the day, that you would go to the Christian bookstore and they'd either come with a magazine or they'd be up at the checkout and you could, you know, get a sampler of all the new music coming out. And back then that was a really big deal. Now it's like you get a big playlist on Spotify and that's the big deal.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Worship Fuel. My name is Matt McCoy. I'm the founder of Loop Community and the host of the Worship Fuel show. Today, I've got the pleasure of interviewing and hanging out with Sanctus Real. We've got Chris and Dustin from Sanctus Real. I am so excited to have this conversation with them, talk about some past stuff, you know, what, how they got to where they are and what they're doing today. So we're going to have a lot of good conversation. Make sure you type in the chats with one thing that you're going to walk away from this conversation with when we're done. So make sure you hit the subscribe and follow button as well to stay tuned for future Worship Fuel episodes. But what are we waiting for? Let's bring in Chris and Dustin from Sanctus Real. What's up, guys? What a treat this is to have you. Thank you for joining.
Oh, man. Yeah. Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
So, Chris, you started Sanctus Real in the 90s. And I remember listening to you guys. I was a teenager in the 90s and always had Sanctus Real on, like, I think it was, I'm trying to think what kind of discs I was buying at that time, but like CDs that had, maybe it was a Wow CD or some sort of just like Christian hits of the 90s. And I mean, Sanctus Real was everywhere. And then Dustin, you joined the band in 2015. What's it like to be a part of a band for so long and see how much it has grown? Because I mean, that's a long time for a band to keep going. You've seen it change a lot. What's it been like?
Yeah, you know, you talk about the 90s, and I was a teenager as well. So in the 90s, and that's when we started. And yeah, some of our early projects on Sparrow Records, it was all about getting on the compilation discs back in the day, that you would go to the Christian bookstore and they'd either come with a magazine or they'd be up at the checkout. And you could, you know, get a sampler of all the new music coming out. And that was kind of like, back then, that was a really big deal. You know, and to see the way things have changed, now it's like you get a big playlist on Spotify. And that's the big deal. And it's really cool to still be making music in this space that is still reaching people. And, you know, even with Dustin on board now for the past 10 years almost, we've seen a lot of changes, even as Dustin has been in the band. When he started, you know, it was right after our previous singer, Matt, had left, and a lot of things were in flux for us at that point. You know, our record label had dropped us, booking, management. It was complete rebirth and a restart for Sanctus Real. And, you know, through that whole process, you know, when we even started with Dustin, I thought, man, if we could write songs that were good enough to get the attention of record labels again, maybe we'd get another record deal and we could have another go at this. And we did that. But as it turns out, so much has changed in the past 10 years. You know, we're fully indie now and we have our own record label. So even that has changed my mindset as to how the music business works, and getting our music out is easier than ever now, which is just really, really wild, really cool to watch.
It is pretty cool that that's how people are consuming music now. I definitely remember the CDs that came with a magazine. And so give us a glimpse. I'm just curious, what year did you start Sanctus Real, and what was it like when you guys first started?
Yeah, so it was five of us that started the band in 1996. And it started because we were playing worship at our high school for our chapel services. And it was myself, our previous singer, Matt, and another Matt who played bass. Another senior at the time, I think we were sophomores going into our junior year. And the two seniors were Mark, who is our original drummer, and another guitarist named Mike. And yeah, it started out very organically. It was, hey, at the time, for me personally, I was kind of new to Christian music as well. Like, I'd grown up in the church, but, you know, we went to a Southern Baptist church where there was no modern worship. And so high school was a big change for me because all of a sudden they're using acoustic guitars for worship. And that was a big culture shift in the mid to late 90s that was happening with, we were coming into the modern worship realm. Yeah. And I remember seeing that happen because of my experience at high school. And I was new at the school my freshman year. And then there was bands that were coming on the scene that I had never heard of called Switchfoot, Bleach.
And Bleach. You know, I forgot about Bleach. Oh my God.
Oh dude, those guys were amazing. We became friends with them eventually, but that's what I gravitated towards because I was a huge fan of bands like Weezer, Foo Fighters. You know, in the 90s, it was all about that alternative rock. And so we saw that and we just from the beginning felt like we could take this and bring that into Christian music and kind of do what Switchfoot was doing or do what Bleach and Audio Adrenaline. Yeah. So that was kind of the motivation for writing our own music beyond leading worship at our high school.
Yeah. That was a special era. I mean, I was like 13, 14 years old listening to the OC Supertones, MXPX, Sanctus Real. There was a band. Well, I mean, you mentioned Bleach, which is interesting. There was a band called Silage, I think. S-I-L-A-G-E. I don't know how you say it, but
yeah. Yep.
That was just such an interesting era. And I also love hearing that you guys were playing in your school. Was it a Christian school then? Dune Chapel?
Yeah. Yeah.
That is pretty cool. My daughter goes to a small Christian school and I literally just a couple weeks ago was asked, hey, can you come in and help like get some student bands going? Because they don't really have a lot happening. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how in the world am I gonna put together these student bands? But I think that's such a cool story that's actually where Sanctus Real started.
Yeah, it really is. We were all learning our instruments at that time. And the funny thing now, I would have never guessed this, but I have a 16-year-old now. His name's Josiah. And he's going to the same school, which was not in the cards for us as far as, you know, even financially speaking. We just didn't think it was going to be an option for us. We never even mentioned it to him. But, you know, I have this little side gig that I do where I edit video. And that school had approached me to do a commercial for them. And I hadn't stepped foot into that school in many, many years. But it was a really cool opportunity. I felt like God laid in my lap to go back to the school, see how it had changed and how it had grown since I graduated back in the late 90s. Put together this commercial, which my son saw me working on, and it got him really curious about the school, so much so that he wanted to go check it out. And he really enjoyed his tour of the school, and now he's going there. And They still have a chapel band, and it's all student-led still. He's not playing in it, although he does play some percussion. I got to go back and shoot video of the students leading worship for that commercial. And it was a really full circle moment. And it just a reminder of God's faithfulness and just really wild. I think that's such a special place for me thinking back, like without that, without those chapel services, Sanctus Real would have never started for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. You never know where a small spark is going to go. And, you know, it obviously lit this flame that has become Sanctus Real, but I think it's also then, you know, it lights flames for future generations and
Absolutely. There's
a ripple effect to it, which is incredible.
Yeah.
So this is kind of a interesting question, but like, have you seen, you've seen Christian music over the last 30 years. I mean, there's been these eras and seasons, you've seen it change a lot. And is there anything that you think that, you know, there's obviously a lot of good where Christian music is now. I think it's awesome how people can consume music now, you know, so easily. But is there anything that you think we need to get back to or focus more of in our current worship culture neglected or something
I think that's a great question. I think Dustin, you could probably even speak to this as far as the worship end, because you were a worship pastor when we found you, because for us, we saw a lot of changes in CCM. And the thing that kind of, I guess, bummed me out, I should say that lightly, is we were never considered a worship band, or our songs were never considered worship as Sanct Israel. And I think,
did you think it was worship?
I think that's just the dichotomy of maybe what I'm trying to get at is,
yeah,
wherever your heart is, if your heart is to express the joy that God has brought you, and you use the talents he's given you, and you have these ideas musically, and if it's all directed towards him, then it should be considered worship, I feel like. And now it might not be what the church has come to know as modern worship today, but I think we're getting into this season now where our heart has always been for worship. Dustin, being a worship leader coming into the band, has kind of pulled us more into that, and he's seen a lot of changes over the years with that as well. But for me, I think if the heart's there, I love it when songs that we write that might not be straight up worship songs are used in those kind of environments, because I think they should be.
Yeah,
I think there's a little bit of a term definition, the definition of a term when we talk about this, because there's what we refer to as corporate worship, right? Like worship that's going to be sung in groups with churches and people. And those songs were always specifically written for the church. And, you know, what's happened is over the last, you know, 10, 15 years, those worlds, the CCM world, which was, I don't want to say entertainment per se, but they were written to be clean, and you could have fun songs, and you could write things that were unique. And it wasn't all vertical, basically. It was, some of it was talking to people, and those worlds merged where people started calling everything worship, but what they referred to it as was corporate worship. Right. I mean, worship is just an act of, you know, an act of reverence to God, and you can do that in a lot of different ways. But the term worship has been, not in a negative way, I'll careful with, but co-opted in the sense that everything now that's worship is looked at as this corporate thing. And I led it for many years. In fact, I didn't really know a lot of CCM when I got in the band. I had never really done that thing. I'd always been the worship guy. So I entered into a new world completely, trying to figure that out. But I've had this front row seat to everything on the radio, everything that we're trying to, everything gets pushed, people start calling it worship, and it's like everything becomes this corporate worship rather than just a heartfelt, hey, this is part of my worship in this song, even though we're encouraging people, and though it's not vertical worship, it's a message of faith, you know. But the biggest change, I think, in a lot of ways is the merging of the two worlds, right? Where everything is now being referred to as corporate or this or that. And corporate worship is all over the radio, where that used to not be the thing, that was more reserved for churches. Now the radio is full of it. So it's really just been a massive merging of those things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. So when we just think about just corporate worship, which is like the songs that are happening on a Sunday morning service typically, is there anything that you think that would be good for us to kind of bring back or even remember that happened 30 years ago? Or, you know, because there's a lot of now younger worship leaders who weren't around in the late 90s.
Right. I think there's a balance that we're missing. Like, I still lead a lot of worship. Small churches, big churches, we have a small church in town here, I lead worship. And there's young worship leaders. And something I think is missing is that it seems as though most of the songs being written are very me-based, how I feel, how I benefit from it, what you've done for me. I think some of the biggest songs, you know, from 30 years ago were songs of reverence. How great is our God? You know, these big, where it's just, it doesn't matter your situation, right? God's the same. He's big. And there's a certain level of humility in our singing when we don't come into it at all, right? Like, it's not about me at all. It's just about the fact that you're the creator, and we get this opportunity to put attention on you. I think for me, more than anything, when I'm singing, I feel a desire to just elevate the creator, where I think a lot of modern songs feel like we're almost elevating the creation and saying, look what the creator can do for me. And I think there's a balance to this, because you want to express from where you're at and how you feel. But at some point it almost starts to feel, for lack of a better term, almost narcissistic and inward focused. And I think generationally we tend to focus on how we benefit rather than that God, we have a song called My God Is Still the Same, rather than just the bigness of the creator of the universe. That's there's a lot of nuance, you know, when we talk about this kind of stuff, there's a lot of things that go into this, but just from a real big picture perspective, that's the first thing. That's the first thing that I really feel, man, that we just, God is the same, whether we're benefiting or not. Right. Like he's the same, whether we're blessed or half favored or not. And a lot of our songs don't reflect that.
Yeah. What a wild perspective you have of being a worship pastor at one point and now lead singer of a band. How did that connection even happen? Like, did you get, like, how did you even get connected with Sanctus Real to make that switch?
Chris can tell his part of the story because he's got one side and I've got the other.
So, where to start? It was a crazy season for us because when Matt had been in the band for about 20 years at that point, we grew up together, went to high school together. And when he came to Mark and I and said, "Hey, I think I got to step out." For whatever reason, for me, I just felt so strongly that there was still work to be done with this platform of Sanctus Real. And I'm being honest when I say it wasn't because like I couldn't give it up or because I was like headstrong about it. I just felt like there were still songs that needed to be written that people needed to hear. And surely this couldn't just be the end of that after 20 years. But, you know, to the music industry that would be looking at us, they would have thought, and some of them even said this, like, "You guys had a great career.
Let it go.
Yeah, 7 records. You saw it. You traveled the country 10 times over. And we were on our way down anyways. All that stuff was kind of at play. And so I didn't really know how it was going to continue, but I felt strongly that it just would. And I trusted God would show us the way without us having to pursue it. And I think that's something I really learned through that process is it couldn't be up to me to figure it out. And it couldn't be up to me to go find the person, give him the job description, make sure it all fit in a nice box and say, "Okay, let's go do this," because it wasn't going to work on my own merit. You know, it didn't work that way in the first place. So the only way it was going to move forward is if God had somebody specific for what this next season of Sanctus Real is going to be. So we didn't have tryouts. We didn't post anything to anybody. Obviously the insiders knew that we were probably going to be done, and not very many people knew we were going to try to continue. Our bass player at the time, he had been with us for just a few years. He was also from Michigan. And one day in a hotel room, he said, "You know, I've been thinking," and this is months into this process of playing our final shows with Matt. And he said, "I've been thinking about this. And there's this guy I know that, you know, years ago we did a project together," because he had a recording studio. And he's like, "I heard he just put out a project with his wife and it's like folk music, but he's a good dude. And, you know, I just feel like I should play this for you." And so he played me a little like 30 seconds of this song that Dustin had recorded recently with his wife. And for whatever reason, I don't know if it was God speaking to me or what, but it was like, "Oh, okay. I can hear it. Can you call him up? Like, I think this could be it." Like, it wasn't like we had tried 20 other people or looked at anybody else. It was just like this very natural, organic thing. He got in touch with Dustin. We met up. We had dinner together. It was an easy hang. It was very organic, like I had hoped. And then from that dinner, we went over to Jake, our bass player's home studio, and we wrote a song together. And it worked. It was easy enough. But in my mind, it still wasn't like, "This is it." It was just like, "Okay, that's cool. Maybe that'll be it." But we had so many loose ends to still tie up where we were at with Matt. And so it wasn't till weeks or maybe even months later that we actually had that conversation where we said, "Let's solidify this." And Dustin, you can take it from here.
Yeah.
Because it was actually Dustin who called me.
It must have been a God thing, because for him to have heard what my wife and I were doing, it was not even remotely close to CCM or worship. It was like folk. So for him to actually hear that it could work was a God thing. Right. I got a call from Jake. I was at church. I was in my office working on stuff for Sunday morning, and he called, and I hadn't talked to him in years. I mean, maybe 3 years. And I was in the middle of something, so I was like, I'll just call him after. I forgot. Like an hour later, he calls again. I'm in a meeting. So he tried calling me 5 or 6 times in a day. And I was at work, always kind of with people, always kind of doing something. And I was like, I'll just call him back when I get home. I get home and my wife tells me that his wife had been trying to call her, saying that Jake's trying to call me and I need to get a hold of him ASAP. And it was kind of at that point, I had just heard, like through Facebook or something, because it was Facebook that was big at the time. I had seen that Sanctus Reels lead singer was stepping down. That's all I knew. And I knew Jake was in Sanctus Reels. So when after 4 years or 3 years, you know, he's blown up my phone, I just kind of looked at my wife like, there's no way, right? There's no possibility that they're calling me to see if I want to sing.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it was. And it was such a, I was just like,
wow.
I didn't know anything. I knew some of their songs. I didn't know much about them. I didn't even know what the whole band looked like at that point. And so I'm like doing research on them to see
what have they been doing?
Right. And yeah, I knew a lot of the songs, but I had not, you know, as Chris said, I had not been, I mean, I hadn't listened to Christian radio in years. I was all worship. Yeah. And I loved things like folk music and different kinds of music. So, I remember as my wife, I got off the phone and she said, well, is it what you thought it was? And I said, yeah, baby, they're interested. And she said, what do you think? And I said, well, of course it's intriguing. And she just looked at me with her, if you knew my wife, she said, you're such a sellout. And that's how this whole thing, that's how this whole thing started. Right. And, when I went to this meeting or when I went to this dinner with them, it was great. Everything kind of clicked. I was like, these are legit guys. And I remember at the end of it, I just said to them, look, guys, I don't need this. I'm 34 years old. I've got kids. I've got a job. You know, I don't need this. It's very intriguing. I said, but just for me, the one thing I need you to not do is let it linger. Like, don't leave me hanging. I know you're busy. I know there's stuff going on. But if this is something you want to move forward on, because I can't really have this just hanging over my head while I'm working for a church and our family and all this kind of stuff. And Chris is like, yeah, of course. Yeah. And then I think it was 3 weeks to a month go by and I don't hear from him. And I was just like, oh, I'm just going to call him. I don't care. So I called him and he said, hello. And I said, you did exactly what I asked you not to do. And I remember because he goes, man, I didn't think you'd be interested. And I was like, I don't think you understand the opportunity presented. Like, it's still a good opportunity. And I was like, of course I'm interested. And honestly, that conversation, I think from that point on, it was done. It was it. That was like, there was no other discussions. It was like, if you want to be in, you're in. I signed a napkin. It was so official. It was really wonderful. And we just, from that point on, we moved forward and I was at his house almost every day. We lived about an hour apart and we figured out we were writing songs. We knew it was going to be about the songs. And so it was just kind of a puzzle piece. And I'm a little bit, where our family is a little bit of a vagabond. You can see behind me, we just moved. This is our 25th move in 23 years of marriage. Oh, so wow. I think it took that personality type to actually do what we're doing. Just a little bit, you know, nomadic. And God, through these years, it's truly been one of the most mind-blowing things to see the hand of God at the most opportune times throughout the last 10 years. It's been incredible how it all came together.
Did you immediately leave the church, or were you with the church still for a while? Or,
well, that's a story.
Yeah.
I led that church. There was some things that happened. The pastor didn't want to necessarily share. We had an arrangement. It's okay. It's all then. I ended up, there was a pretty large church that just allowed me the opportunity to come in for the first, I don't know, year, maybe, Chris, year and a half, and just be kind of that whenever I was home, I could lead. And it was, honestly, it was such a God thing and amazing that it helped me, because it was also financially helpful, because in the beginning, there was no money. In fact, I mean, I don't know how, we won't get detailed, but when I first joined, we found out there was a large bill to pay.
Yeah.
Just remembers. So it was literally walking into on such faith. I mean, there wasn't enough money. This church really, really stepped in at the right time, and God made a way there too. And I got to also continue leading worship, which is great.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's a big leap of faith. So you guys did release a new song, great new song called The Difference. Tell us about the song.
Yeah.
That's great.
who wants to go for it?
I know we're always, well, it started with Chris. I think what's cool about being in a band is it's a lot of times you'll write songs, you write them in a group, and it's like, we're going to write the coolest song we can, and it's going to go to radio and have all these plans for it. But I think a lot of our best songs start with like ideas between us, and he loves to send us these cool riffs. And that song started with a riff. And I think that's what kind of made it unique. And all of our songs kind of ideas, I was saying, we were talking about this the other day, where I write a lot for other people. I walk into those writes with ideas. Like, we come up with themes and hey, here's a song title or something. And I never do that with our band, because most of our songs, we'll get in a room, we'll have this cool riff idea. And then most of those ideas of ours end up coming through conversations. We start talking about where we're at, what people are going through, what's on your heart. And something that's been on all of our hearts the last couple of years is just this idea of hopefulness, because we travel church to church, we've met a lot of people, and we've seen situations, and just feels like people are hopeless a lot. And I'm talking about people in the church. We've had these conversations where, you know, you talk to people and they're believers, but they're struggling day to day, like trying to figure out if it's worth it, if their situation is dark. And we just have been like, God, if we could just speak some hope into people's lives through this next season of our band, that's what we want to do. That's where we feel like you're leading us. And so this song actually still came from that idea of hopefulness, of talking through, like, you know, if we didn't believe in Jesus, where would we be? Like, it's not so much that he's just like making everything better. It's that we believe in something that goes beyond the situation, right? Like, and the difference in who we are and how we think and how we talk and how we walk and how we love, it's really because we believe in something greater than just this thing. And to me, this song is incredibly hopeful, because it relies on our faith, our belief in him, that he makes the difference. And so the idea just kind of blossomed, you know, from these conversations. So we emerge this incredibly cool acoustic riff, and with what I think was a God-inspired idea. And you take, you know, I think talented people, and you put them in a room, and that's a great recipe. And the song is what came out of it.
That's awesome. What does songwriting look like for you guys? Since we're on that topic, is it usually the three of you together or on your own? Do you bring in other writers?
We typically, it's usually Dustin and I with other writers, one or two typically. And since I live in Ohio still, we'll be somewhat coordinated with, okay, let's get together for 3-4 days. I'll come down. Our publisher is awesome. And his name's Jonathan Mason. He'll get together.
I know Jonathan very, us. Very well. Good friend.
I figured you might.
I was just with him last week.
Oh, yeah.
I was together with him for a week in West Virginia. Such an awesome guy. Cool.
That's awesome. So yeah, he'll say, well, I got this guy this time. What do you think? And he'll always bounce it off us and ask if there's anybody we want to get with. And we'll do 3 or 4 days straight. Some of those days we'll have two writes even sometimes. And yeah, I usually try to come in with some musical ideas, and sometimes they're worked up. Sometimes they're just voice memos. very seldom do I have like titles. I guess I don't, I do have a list of those, but I don't usually have to bring them out because it is a very natural process anymore when we get in the room with friends and even with the new people that we get to write with, of just having conversations. We find ourselves very quickly getting into what could be the meat of a song just out of that, just out of hanging out and having that genuine fellowship with each other. And I love that part of what we get to do now more than I ever did.
Yeah.
And just, you know, kind of weaving in and out of different thoughts, different ideas, different lines. And it does help, I find, to have some kind of musical idea to come in with, because all these writers down in Nashville are so great. They can write over anything unless it's really terrible. Yeah. And so, you know, it's like, I like to have something that comes in that already feels like it could be a Sanctus Reel rhythm or progression or riff, and then see if that catches anybody's ear. And the difference, our newest song, thankfully, was that it was at the end of a writing week. And I kind of played the song off my laptop, just the simple demo I had. And AJ, our co-writer and producer, he's a really excitable guy when he likes something, and he really dug it. And Dustin was on board, and we just went to town and wrote that song around that little musical idea. And again, it was all about just the conversation we had just had. So it's really cool to watch those things happen at this point, very organically.
How often do you get down there to write in Nashville?
Usually probably not as often as you'd think. And partially because we have like a stockpile of songs that we have written over the years that we haven't even recorded to release yet. And we need to. So it's like, we don't want to get too many songs that are just never going to come out. But I'd say two times a year, maybe three times a year are like those real concentrated efforts.
Yeah.
But in between, I'm usually sending ideas back and forth. Yeah. And then even when we actually decide to, you know, produce and finish a song, those files get sent back and forth, and I'm able to record guitars here. Dustin being in Nashville now, living down there, he can get with producers and record vocals really easily. We've recorded drums here in Ohio and sent those back down. So it is really great that once we figure out what songs we want to record, it's not like we have to get back together to do that even. You know, we can kind of work remotely on it too.
And we don't need label permission to do it.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things, you know, he's referring, we're not a band, and I've never been a band that I know for us since I've been in that, you know, you write a record and you'll write 100 songs, right? And then you pick those. That's never been us. Like we don't write a ton of songs that we're not like, hey, this could be a song that we release. That might sound like we write only great songs. I think when we write songs, we want to take the time to make them who we are and the quality of them. And there was a big difference when I first joined to now, because I think when I first joined, we were both just like, we need songs. And so we'd go into a room and we kind of let writers be like, hey, this is radio. Now it's definitely more, no, this is Sanctus Reel. And there's certain things we want to write about, and there's certain sound that we're looking for. And so we're going in more with, hey, this is who we are. Here's what I want to sing about, what we want the song to be about. So it's kind of changed in that way. And I honestly, we could pull up a Dropbox of songs we want to release like when we can't. So we don't always need to be writing, even though I think we just enjoy writing. So that helps. But we have a lot of songs.
That's amazing. That is nice that you have that freedom. So you've got the difference out. Great song. What's next for you guys?
Oh, maybe my favorite song. We just want to release songs. Like we have a lot of songs. What's next for a band, I think, is always a little tricky. We did not expect, I'll just be fully honest, we did not expect the difference to hit the worship world the way that it has. We didn't go into releasing the song thinking it was corporate worship. I you know, even as a corporate worship guy, I'm very pleasantly surprised how the outlets have embraced this song as a corporate worship song, because it's a God thing. It wasn't really the thing we were thinking, hey, this is a great corporate worship song.
Yeah.
I think it is. I've actually led it in worship, but it works great. But it wasn't our mindset. And so, like, for I always, when people ask what's next for a band, you know, there's touring, there's the bandy things, but most of all for us, it's the message and the songs, right? Like how do we make the best songs possible? How do we follow the Spirit? How do we take the presence of God into a room and then write what reflects Him the best? Because I think if a band like ours that's been doing it for almost 30 years is going to have a future, it's going to be because of the message. We're not shiny. We're not new, although I'm still relatively new. But we're not like a new, fresh face that, you know, is going to get all of this stuff. And so I think for us, it's really boiling down to what is our message? What is our purpose? How can we speak into people's lives? Before I was in a band like this, I used to tell my wife, I wish people that had a platform would use that platform to represent Christ well. Well, we take that very seriously. Like, how do we represent Jesus the best way that we can represent Him with the platform that we have? And so I think for us, it's every day as a band, it's doing that, writing songs that have import, even how we conduct ourselves in public and all of these kinds of things. And, you know, we've been going through situations now behind the scenes that have been a challenge. And we've kind of just walked through those. So the opportunity, I think the future is kind of bright for us and who we want to be as a band. And I think the next couple years, you know, who knows what God has in store for us, but we're open to whatever message He wants us to give.
That's awesome. So in closing, I'd be curious, like what, and I think you have such a unique perspective too with worship and then the artist side. What would you say to a young worship leader? Maybe you're sitting down with coffee with a young worship leader. Is there anything that you would say to them if they're feeling just totally burnt out, hopeless, maybe daily grind, just like tired of that Monday through Friday church meetings and planning center and scheduling volunteers and getting the other rejection email and like.
Yeah, that's amazing. Man, I don't know if we have enough time for what I'd want to actually say.
Yeah.
You know, being older, going through all of these worlds, there's a couple things that I think are hard for young worship leaders. One of them is when you have a job and money's tied to it, it's so easy to burn out because it's not just about the heart of what you're doing or connecting people to Jesus. And now it's also about feeding your family and all of those things. And so it's so easy to get bought into the work part of it rather than the purpose part of it. And, you know, then we also have this idea that if we're good or talented, that it's our destinies to be on big stages, right? That we're called to this thing. Yeah. And that puts added pressure on people because if you think you're called to it, then you have to push, you're going to push for it a little bit. And so there's all of these little things that add up. And, you know, for someone who feels hopeless, here's what I would say. We say this a lot as a band. We say it a lot from stages. Your hopelessness almost can't exist in a Christ believer because merely believing in Jesus brings hope. Right? Like He is our hope. He doesn't give us hope. And so I always say, like, if you struggle with hope and hopelessness, then you almost have to start asking yourself what you believe in, who you believe in, and why you believe in Him. And if I were to say anything to anyone is motive as a Christian is everything. Motive. Why are you a worship leader? Is it because you can sing and you have talent? We can do really good things for the wrong reasons and it ends poorly. Sometimes we do things that look not as good for the right reasons and God will honor that more. And it's really the motive that's more important than just the action. Like, and so I would challenge a young worship leader who maybe works for a church or is getting burned out. The relationship with God is your relationship with God is what makes worship leading work. You don't usher in the presence. We are already in the presence of God. It's that connectivity to Him. And most people get burnt out because of the human parts of the job, right?
Mm-hmm.
You take somebody's you take somebody's money, you take the church's money, you have to do it. You have to. It's part of your responsibility and your work ethic. And so the only thing you can say to somebody is, you could do that working a 9-to-5 and probably making way more money somewhere else, or you can connect to Jesus, right? You have to do the important things first, and you have to find your hope, and you have to find that in Christ, because burnout, all burnout is dealing with too many faulty humans. Mm-hmm. That's burnout, right? When you're surrounded by dark situations or difficult human beings, and the job becomes a challenge, and a lot of young worship leaders aren't equipped emotionally, physically, or spiritually to handle full-blown adults questioning everything. So that's a long answer, and I could give a way longer answer if I
wanted.
But that's where I would start.
That's excellent. I really appreciate that. I know that's going to mean a lot to people. Well, guys, Chris and Dustin, thank you guys so much for taking the time to talk about the band and reminiscing a little bit in the 90s and telling the story. Just such a cool story to hear your journey too. And I'm encouraging everybody to go listen to The Difference. We've got all the charts and the tracks too at Loop Community and on CCLI. So go check it out, people. Guys, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
Appreciate great to it. Meet you. We'll see you soon. All right, guys, great interview with Sanctus Real, Chris and Dustin. Thanks so much for joining. Make sure you go listen to The Difference wherever you listen to music. If you're a worship leader, go check out Loop Community, Song Select, get the charts, get the tracks all there, ready for you to use at your church. Type down in the comments what's one thing you walked away from this conversation with, and hit the subscribe button. We'll see you next time.